Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
Y'all ready to hear some preaching today?
Yeah.
I'm ready to preach. How many was here for Bill Vanderbush on Thursday?
I watched it.
All right. Well, he's not here today. That man can preach, can he? He just leaks Jesus. He really does. And today's message, what he started, he will finish. I mean, that's the title. That's what I got during my study this week. This is what I got yesterday as I started to put it down on a PowerPoint and to try to help, help get us where we're supposed to be today. And I realized I had all that done by about 2:30 yesterday. And by 10 or 11 o'clock at night last night, I realized, now I know why I'm preaching that. Because listen, he's gonna finish what he started. What does that look like? How many are called to ministry? How many are actually molded into his image to where you're functioning at the fullness of your calling?
Halfway?
Okay. But he's not finished. So what I'm saying is, he's not finished. And my question is, what has stopped the progress? What has stopped the journey? If he says, Charlie, you're supposed to be this, 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 and this, and you're truly honest with yourself, and you realize, let me give myself a report card, and you're barely passing, whose fault is it? Who has to make the adjustment? Listen, we want to fire God, but we don't give him anything to burn. Come on. So Bill Vanderbush shows up Thursday night and gives us, a church, a prophecy. What did he basically say? We're weird. You guys are weird. Your pastor's weird. Okay.
Yeah.
But I'm good. But what did he started talking about the five different types of churches. You got the evangelistic church. They're big. They're flashy. But after a while, you get saved 52 times a year, and that's all you're doing, evangelism, about souls, okay? That's not wrong, but it's not enough meat.
Right.
Then he talked about the pastor church. It was gooey, mooey, wooey. After a while, it's, give me some meat and taters. Then you got the teacher church. He preaches for 2 hours. How many ever seen me preach for 2 hours? We've been delivered from the teacher church. But listen, I carry all of it.
Yes.
Then he talked about the prophetic church, that you could get hit with a flag. We're back to flags. I got hit this morning. I realized we're a prophetic church. It wasn't damaging. It wasn't a poke. It was just a glaze by. But we all have our flavor. We all have the purpose. But what did he say? We're going to come into the fullness as a church of all five. I don't know if you realize Bill Vanderbush is a national voice. He travels to nations. I take that very seriously. I take it as the word of the Lord, and then I start evaluating, what am I needing to do to finish the work in me to get what he's promised me? And so I go over some notes, and years ago the Lord said to me, he said, son, if you'll obey me to the finite degree, I can do more with you in 60 days than I can with some people in 60 years. Extreme obedience gets the hand of God moving. And I learned that. Then I went through another portion where the Lord says, I need to mold you in the public arena. What do you mean by that? Well, you're called to the public arena. And so I need to mold you. I need to test you. Listen, Jesus grew with favor with God and man.
That's right.
So what are you working on, God? He said, you got my favor. It's man's favor because you're a horse's butt the way you act. Excuse me? But I held the word of the Lord. Yes, but you're arrogant in your delivery. And I'm going to, he says, do you want me to mold you in my image? And he said, yes. He says, be rare, because I'm going to send accusations towards you to mold you. And I said, what do you mean? He said, there's enough truth in every false accusation for you to improve. And I went through a season where I couldn't say hi without someone getting mad at me. Or I'd give you a scripture and like, well, you didn't quote it in King James. I'm like, I'm going to slap you. And what was God doing? He was shaping me. He was molding me. But there's enough truth in every false accusation that I can improve. Why? Because he's going to finish what he started. He's going to finish what he started. Verse 24, 1 Thessalonians 5:24. He who called you is faithful. He will surely do it. King James, faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. Who will do it?
He will.
He won't if you don't yield. He will not unless you present yourself as a living sacrifice, surrendered to him. See, we want God to come do it, but we don't want God to mess with us. We want pixie dust. Oh, that prophet laid hands on me and now I'm anointed. Really? Let me talk to your wife. I'll find out what kind of anointing you got. Let me talk to your kids. First, we're going to go through this and we're going to read it in ESV. I'm going to talk to you about the Apostle Paul. Listen, Bill touched on some things about the apostolic. I carry the apostolic. Some of you have never seen me function as a traveling prophet. A few of you have. There's a different mantle that comes on me when I travel. And I'm telling you, the pastoral thing is about to go bye-bye. The apostolic is about to show up. And the prophetic offices, the pastor offices, the evangelistic offices are starting to get set. People seating in the seats, and we're about to see the fullness of Christ. But some of you are called to travel and preach, and you can't even get out of your own neighborhood. All right, amen makes me be nice. Verse 12. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and who are over you in the Lord and admonish you, to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brother, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks to all circumstances. In this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in all circumstances. Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I thought if I served you, Jesus, everybody would like me. How's that working out for you? This message, I mean, I woke up this morning and people were trying to pick a fight with me. My wife walked out this morning. She says, does my butt look big in this today? I was like, oh my gosh, she's trying to pick a fight. What do you say? I bought you a mirror, dear. Some things you have to make decisions on your own. I know, I got a lecture from the girls. She's really wanting to, no, she doesn't. She didn't want me to go, I love you, you look pretty. She wanted to pick a fight. Learned a lot. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Amen. Listen to this. Do not quench the Spirit. Listen, you quench the Spirit, you're going to pull from another one.
Amen.
Do not despise prophecies, but test everything, hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Dude, there's some interesting instructions here. He who calls you is faithful, and he will surely do it. Listen, here's the Thessalonians. This whole book is full of encouragement, exhortation. The Apostle Paul brought the gospel to the important city of Thessalonica. It was the estimated population of 100,000 people. The original name was Therma, or Hot Springs. The city was renamed Thessalonica after Alexander the Great's half-sister. The city was home to a Jewish community as well as many cults and false religions. I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of Christian churches who do not put Christ in the fullness of who he is, and I consider that a false religion.
That's right.
Either he's everything or he's nothing. Which one is he? You know, we're about to draw a line in the sand of who Jesus Christ is, and we're going to figure out what we believe. The purpose. Writing as a concerned father and longing mother. I think that was interesting how they described it. He wrote this to this church as a father and a mother. Why? Because sometimes you need to be pastored and mothered. Sometimes you need a fathering that will stick his finger in your eye and go, "Don't you know who you are?" You get your identity from your father. You get the nourishing from the mothering side, and we carry both. I've seen a lot of ladies that know how to father. Paul co-authored this letter with his fellow ministers, Silas and Timothy, to remind those dear believers of what they had previously taught them and to reinforce what they already knew. The author in the audience. And yet, Paul isn't the only author for the letter open to this. It was Paul, Silas, and Timothy. What am I saying here? God's about to do team ministry. We've heard it, we've declared it, but we haven't functioned in it. Let me tell you something. Ron and I went to Louisiana, 6-8 months ago. Five of us went, five prophets showed up at one of our brother's churches. And I have never, and I don't think you've ever experienced it, we've talked about it. We had five strong gifts show up in that church. And we fit like a glove. We yielded one to another. It was this guy's turn to do that. And I got to tell you, it took a little bit of yielding to me because it wasn't about me. When I travel, it's usually about me. It was about Ron this time. So what does maturity say? Where's the anointing? He had the anointing. He's crazy, by the way. He was more crazier than me. But what I'm saying is there was five of us working together. We, Ron and I actually figured it out that one of our brothers was actually functioning more apostolically as we did prophetically. But I've watched as a team. I had somebody on Facebook this week tell me that weekend changed his life. And he started quoting a prophecy I had given him back to me. I'm doing it. I can't believe it. Uncle Charlie, thank you. Why? There was something, there was a synergy about this team that God sent. And the interesting thing is it was supernatural that Ron had an encounter with Papa Jack because God did not want Ron to go as a subordinate of mine, but as an equal. Team ministry. Paul and his co-workers jointly spoke into the situation faced by their audience. Paul wrote these baby Christians and this infant church. Hear that. Baby Christian and infant church. That's most of us. To encourage them to persevere, remain pure, prepare for the coming of the Lord. Faith in the gospel explained and personalized. That's the major theme of this whole book. 1 Thessalonians isn't an apologetic for the gospel like Romans and Galatians. Paul speaks of it as a power. And as the Lord's message, a message not derived from the words of men, but the very word of God, which was entrusted to the apostles. You're about to see a mandate on the apostolic grace that will start setting doctrine in order and start setting ministries into true divine order. Now, I want to talk to you. I'm going to break this down again through the Passion Translation. Mary and Phil started buying me the Passion Translation as they came out for birthdays and Groundhog Day, and I've gotten addicted to this translation. I really like it. So we're going to just take it apart, okay? Dear brothers and sisters, make sure that you show your deep appreciation for those who cherish you and diligently work as ministers among you, for they are your leaders who care for you, teach you, and stand before the Lord on your behalf. They value you with great love because of their service to you. Let peace reign among yourselves. The first two verses here are translated from the Aramaic. The Greek is, brothers and sisters, we appeal to you to respect and recognize those who labor among you, have oversight of your life of the Lord, and admonish you. Show them as much respect as possible with great love because all they do for you. Be at peace among yourselves. Church leaders deserve your financial support and love because they work for your benefit. How do you like that translation in the Aramaic? We appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, to instruct those who are not in their place of battle. In other words, that the word battle, those who are disorderly or those who are idle. The Greek word is ATAKOTS. It is often used for troops that are not in battle formation. They are unarranged. The body of Christ has got to start getting into formation, or we're going to get our heads handed to us. Be skilled at gentle encouragement. Encourage those who feel themselves inadequate. Be faithful to stand your ground. Help the weak to stand again. Be quick to demonstrate patience with everyone. Those who are losing heart, who are faint-hearted, is what he's saying. Listen, there's people that are losing. They just need a word of encouragement. Some people need a kick in the behind because encouragement was not what they wanted, because they wanted it their way. Listen, I've tried to encourage people. Like, I don't want to encourage people. Well, then I'm going to take you in the front yard and punch you in the head. If you won't be encouraged to obey what God is doing, to let God finish what he started in you, you need a punch in the head. That's encouraging. Resist revenge and make sure that no one pays back evil in place of evil, but always pursues doing what is beautiful to the one and to all the unbelievers. But listen, encourage those that are inadequate, those that are faint-hearted. Have you ever been faint-hearted? Yeah. I mean, have you just, you've been so wounded or you've been so hurt, you've been so desperate, or you've been so depressed that you're going, I know God is good. You couldn't sing that song today. There's times where I couldn't sing that. He is good. He's good to her. He's good to her. He's good. He's not good to me. You know what your problem is? It's not about you. Let joy be your continual feast. In the Aramaic, that be joyous in every season. Make your life a prayer. And in the midst of everything, be always giving thanks, for this is God's perfect plan for you in Christ. So there's the three areas: unbounding joy, praying continually, giving thanks to God no matter what happens in your life. These three virtues combine to form the wonderful expression of Christ's life within us. Listen, are you thankful for where you're at? Or are you so depressed, you're so without, that you can't even be thankful that he saved you? Yeah, I know. Never restrain or put out the fire of the Holy Ghost. Never restrain or put out the fire of the Holy Ghost. I think I did. Never restrain or put out the fire of the Holy Spirit. Song of Solomon 8:7 Ron did a whole teaching on this. Rivers of pain and persecution will never extinguish this flame. Endless floods will be unable to quench this raging fire that burns within you. Everything will be consumed. It will stop at nothing as you yield everything to this furious fire until it won't even seem to you like a sacrifice anymore. What are you saying? If you're depressed, if you're discouraged, get grateful and embrace the fire of God. Let him consume you. Let him consume your depression. Let him consume your inadequacies. Let him burn up your fears. Let him mold you into his image. But I'm telling you, it's your choice whether you're going to have a pity party or a bonfire. And don't be one who scorns prophecies. You know what amazes me is that when Bill gave us that prophecy Thursday night, I went, oh, that's nice. That's so nice. That's sweet. And I got checked in my spirit. He said, do you know the caliber of man I sent here? Oh, yeah, I know he's this, that, and the other. He says, do you think he was speaking on his own accord or mine? Go back and look at your prophecies. You know what? That lined up with about seven that I found. Seven promises of God. And so why am I not further along in my development? Somewhere along the line, I quit yielding. Somewhere along the line, I got comfortable being a pastor. I got comfortable being an evangelist. I got comfortable being a teacher. Oh, I can be a prophet somewhere else. Apostolically, I'm immature, unproven, and quit working at it. Not anymore. Why? Because I got prophecies that said I'm supposed to be doing this, 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 and this. I'm supposed to be taking teams to transform cities. I'm supposed to be taking teams into churches. I'm supposed to be taking teams. But when you can't see yourself, you'll never bring anybody with you. Don't be one who scorns prophecies. See, there's an implication in the context of verses 19 and 20 that we put out the Spirit's fire when we scorn prophecy. Prophecy is a valid gift of the Holy Ghost. It's needed in every church. We must not ignore, despise, or scorn any true gift of the Holy Ghost. Putting out the fire of the Holy Spirit, verse 19, is connected to scorning the prophetic ministry. We need prophets and prophecy to keep the fire, the inspiration, the communication of the Holy Spirit burning in our hearts. Go read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In chapter 14. But be faithful to examine them by putting them to the test, and afterward hold tightly to what is proven to be right. Listen, I don't believe every prophecy I get. I mean, I've had some pizza prophecies from people. Okay? I've come to the point where I realize it's my responsibility to judge whether it was God or not. It's really not my responsibility, unless they're really whacked out, to correct them. But I've also found that because I have that mentality, they may have certain aspects that is absolutely God and add some of themselves to it. But I need to dig that out. You got that? But I got to prove. So I went home Thursday night. I said, okay, God, was that you? Absolutely. Then why am I not there? Because of this, 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 and this. I didn't despise it. I'm using it to motivate me. Because what he has started, he will finish. But what am I getting him to burn? What am I giving him to mold? What am I giving him to use? Avoid every appearance of evil. Hello? You know, with my background, you know, I said something, you know, Jesus went and talked to the prostitutes. My wife explained, but he wasn't married. I'm like, okay, there's certain places you don't need to be going. There's certain things you don't need to be doing. You think that's funny? She was serious. Avoid every appearance of evil. Why? Because when you won't protect and guard the molding and the shaping and the anointing on your life, the enemy will use it against you. Now, I'm not talking about be so rigid that you can't be have fun and you can't, people, then the fear of man controls you. I'm not talking about that. But there's certain things you need to not do. There's certain things you need to not do. Certain things you could do, but you can't do in public. Why? Because they're going to use it against you. And some things are sin to you because God told you not to do it. And it's not sin to others. And it's not for you to imply to others what God has applied to you. But I'm telling you, avoid the appearance of evil. We know to avoid evil, but some of us just look evil. That was good. Now may God, now may the God of peace and harmony set you apart, make you completely holy, and make your entire being, your spirit, your soul, your body, be kept completely flawless in the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. The one who calls you by name is trustworthy and will thoroughly complete his work in you. My question is, do you believe God wants to complete what he's promised you in you? Then why are you stuck where you're at? What fear has hemmed you up? What habit has made you unwilling to pay the price? See, I made a stupid statement one time. I repeated what God told me, that he told me that he wanted me below 200 pounds, and when I did, I would walk in the fullness of God. I should have never told my wife that. Or the church. But I know that God wants me to be under 200 pounds. I'm not there. Give me grace and mercy. Let's go get a burger. But, you know. But why? Because I'll tell you why. God just blessed me a couple weeks ago, and I've got like 160 new accounts. In 2 weeks, I've seen all but three of them. I've driven the wheels off that car. And you know what? I'm tarred. I figured out the favor of God will kill you if you're not ready. That's right. Not only emotionally and spiritually, but a fat man can't run. Not long. I mean, you shooting at me, I can try. Yeah, but what I'm saying is he talks about what? Spirit, soul, and body. That's being whole, shaped in his image and whole. Now, if you look out in the parking lot, Susie's white Jeep has two bicycles on a bicycle rack. She has plans for this week. We're going with people that are crazy on those. Last year I'm sitting on this bicycle, I'm pedaling. I got my little app going. I'm going, hey, we're 17 miles away from home. That's 17 miles back. What are we doing? And I'm yelling, I'm screaming, and they're just like, oh yeah, we're having fun. I'm like, my butt's sore. I know that this is another 17 miles back. And they're all in shape going, do, 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 do. I'm like, I'm going to die. I'm literally going to die. I'm saying, there's an ice cream store. I know, we pedaled to lunch. Thank God, I about died. I was still hungry. But they think nothing of going 35 miles. I think of everything going 35 miles. It's not cool. We're talking this morning, and he's talking about, well, you know, bike riding. I thought he was talking about riding my motorcycle. Yeah, I love riding my bike. No, he's talking about pedaling. My idea of a bike ride is my motorcycle. Exactly. Yeah. Yes, it is. But listen, what am I saying to you? He wants to finish what he started in you. And I'm going to tell you, being overweight is an indication that you're not in balance. Bill Gates said it this way: you could be born poor, and that's not your fault, but you can't die poor. You've had a lifetime to fix that. And if Jesus is your shepherd, you shall not want. If you're always in want, then he's not your shepherd. You haven't yielded yourself to him in the long-term process. Yes, do we go through bad times? Absolutely. But if you're living there, I'm going to challenge your Christianity. If you stay there, you've got a poverty spirit that wants you to be holy because you're sacrificing, then the cross meant nothing. That went over well. The end. Is God trying to finish what he started in you? I've been serving the Lord almost 25 years now. And I'm going to tell you, Susie has called me religious, but I had a tenacity in the early years of only pleasing him that may be religious in some areas. I learned his voice. I knew how to obey him. I knew how to get over people rejecting me, and it was difficult. When you understand the realm of the kingdom and the realm of the spirit, the Lord sent me to New York and basically let me get accused, abused, and destroyed falsely. And I was hurt. What was he doing? He was trying to mold me into his image. Look, what did your sin do to him on the cross? So he sends me into a region, and I get rejected. I get all this, and I'm mad. Now I don't want to preach no more because you're not a good God. I was serving you. I was preaching your message, and these church people rejected me, and these church people wanted to do that. And the Lord said, son, I'm only trying to give you what I've promised you. I said, what's that? And he goes, yeah, they did that to you. A demonic religious spirit used some of my people to hurt you. Now, if you'll go back and love them, I'll give you authority over that demon.
I wouldn't go back. Them people rejected me.
And God was trying to promote me. But I had to learn the principles of the kingdom. He was shaping me in his image. And the Lord's like, what's that devil going to do when you show up and you love the very people that hurt you? They will. The demonic realm is subjected to you if you walk in a love that he sent you with. Everybody wants authority over a demon, but they don't want to walk in love and wonder why the demons destroy you. And so I wound up figuring out I have a lot of authority. Why? Because I love a bunch of people who hate me, who the devil used to try to destroy me. And one by one, and it's funny how they come at night when their life falls apart. They come back at night when everybody else has rejected them. Why? Because somebody loved them and they knew they were wrong. And as I'm evaluating this message for me and this house, it's time to ante up. Present yourself as a living sacrifice so he can finish the work that he declared for you. Not what I declared, what he declared. Not what your wife declared, what he declared. Not what your mama declared, what he declared. If I'd have let my father mold me in his image, it wouldn't be pretty around here. But I had to learn to honor my father so God could mold me into his image and not my dad's image. And I had to learn to honor. I couldn't walk in the authority of a father until I honored the father that I had. Come on. And he's a pain in the butt, isn't he, Pam? That's my sister. We can talk about him. And by the way, I don't appreciate that, Nessie. She walked up to me today and she goes, "That's your sister." He goes, "Man, she's pretty. What happened to you?" I'm like, "That just ain't right." But I'm being molded in God's image. You're talking about God's image here. But what am I? How many have promises that you haven't seen the fulfillment of? It's time to say, Papa, here, let's reengage. Let's reengage. You know what he may tell you to do? He may tell you to go to repent to the person who dislikes you the most. Why? He might want to get over your fear.
Yeah.
See, one day the Lord said to me, he says, are you my son or are you my begotten son? I said, what's the difference? He said, you're a son. Everybody's a son. But there's very few begottens. When Jesus became my begotten son, he had come to the place of maturity where he yielded completely to my will. And my will was to send him to be a sacrifice so you could get healed. Can I use you in the same way? Can I send you to somebody else that wounded you, hurt you, and you repent for what they accused you of, even if you didn't do it, to give them the opportunity to get healed? I don't think I like being a begotten son because I like being right. Yeah, some of you would rather be right than righteous. That whole book, Apostle Paul, saying, brothers and sisters, be good to each other. Love each other. Apostle Paul reached out as a father and a mother. The complete unit. You know, I always leaned to my mom, and I resisted my dad. My mom kept me alive. My dad actually molded me into the image I needed to be. We need both sides of God. Stand to your feet. My Lord, it's 11:45. We have seen a miracle. See, this is not a teacher church. I don't preach for 2 hours anymore. How many needed this today? Listen, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is wanting to brew over us. It says that the Holy Spirit hovered, brewed over Mary, and then she conceived. It's kind of like, I want to date you, then eventually you marry. Some of us have been dating God. We really aren't pregnant with God. We haven't been intimate enough. We haven't had him brew over us. We haven't had him overshadow us and mold us into his image and be willing to carry that portion of the kingdom that is going to require integrity. It's going to require some intestinal fortitude. It's going to require some perseverance. Listen, this whole book was encourage your brother. Some of us get weary. I believe that God is making us have a need one for another. And if you've ever been down to the point where you want to quit, and it's that one phone call of, hey, man, I love you. And it makes you, puts a spring back in your step. God heard me cry this morning and sent this knucklehead on the cell phone. That is encouragement. That is going, God is working out the processes to shape you so he can finish what he's promised you. I want the miracles of God to be so huge that it becomes the dinner bell of the gospel. But if I am not whole here, it'll kill me. It'll puff me up. It will disqualify me. And he won't give me something that's going to destroy me. So finish the work in me. Test me. How many have said that? Lord, test me. Have you ever said that? Lord, test me to see if I qualify for what you've promised me. Test me. Then he whispers things like, you need to write a big check to the church. Nah, I don't think so. That's not God. What test are you unwilling to take? Because it's the very hinge that you'll probably never get the door to swing on. Let me give you a key. Ask him to test you. Pass the test, and then challenge him why you don't have the results. See, I learned that principle when he promised me that my oldest son would be in ministry, would be in business, that he would be okay. But he was hooked on drugs. And I said to God, you promised me that boy. Is there something I did that took the promise away? And he goes, no, you've been faithful. I said, well, then where is he? I said, God, I'm sitting in the middle of 40,000 men singing a song for me and my house will serve the Lord at a Promise Keepers meeting. I go, where's my boy? If I've been okay, I passed the test, then I'm calling you on the carpet. I want my kid back. The devil can't have what you promised. And if I've done it right, I've taken the test, I've been molded and shaped in his image, where's my son? See, some of you won't get in the face of God because you've never allowed him to test you. And you haven't passed the test, and you're a coward, and you won't get in God's face to say you promised. And I did, because I was desperate, because that boy was hooked on crack. We hadn't seen or heard from him, and I was done with that. And God spoke to me. He said, you have been faithful. Go home and tell your wife he will not die. So what does that mean? You've moved my hand, and I will move. He won't die. 10 days later, he showed up at my house in a drug overdose, out of his mind, and his friends brought him to my house because the last thing he could coherently say was, get me to my daddy. He'll know what to do. Yes. He laid in my lap, and in the morning he prayed. And he gave his life. He hadn't gone and done drugs since. And he's successful. Why? Because I was willing to be tested. But then once I passed the test, I was willing to go into the throne room boldly, go into the throne room and say, God, are you going to be God? Are you going to be God with my family? Are you going to be God in my ministry? Are you going to be God with my children? It's time for you to be God. Some of us won't take the test. Some of us won't pay the test. And then we bellyache because we think he's not being God. And he put it on us to be molded and shaped by him into his image. But I'm telling you, we're on the days. We're sitting in the days where God wants to be God. God wants to reign and rule. He wants to crush the serpent. He wants to crush the things that are destroying marriages. He wants to crush the financial situations of poverty in the body of Christ. Is it time? Are you willing to be tested? It's up to you. Let me get real blunt. I can't take your test. I can encourage you, but I cannot take your test. My wife can't take my test. You have to take your test. You have to have enough relationship with God. Some of you can't sing He's Good because you're afraid of Him. Test me, Lord. Put me to the test, Lord. In the areas of my weaknesses, make me strong. In the area of my blindness, let me see. Let me add this. And Lord, help me be an encouragement to those around me that are also taking a test so we can pass it corporately and not just individually. Put your hand over your heart. Pray your own prayer. Pray your own prayer. Lord, whatever area you need to test me in, use it to shape me and mold me into your image, into your grace. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages. read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.